Today we're talking to Joan about self-care, and she's going to be revealing to us, you know, why she's been struggling with her own self-care, and we are going to get to the heart of what has been kind of keeping her from maybe putting that to the forefront and helping her through the parent work really move to a place where she feels like she can put that on the front burner. So welcome, Joan.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, okay, tell me a little bit about why you wanted to focus on self-care and, you know, what have you been currently experiencing?
Sure. So currently I've been experiencing a pretty extreme stage of burnout. I had been pushing myself pretty hard in my life for many years. Most recently put myself through grad school, and was working in a pretty like competitive hospital type setting. And then I just got to a point that I couldn't do it anymore. Like physically, mentally, and it's something that I've never experienced. And so I'm kind of at ground zero right now, trying to build back a foundation to actually like live a healthy life, whatever that might look like.
Got it. And so when you say self-care, because that could mean different things to different people, what do you mean by that? I'm getting the feeling from what you just said that it has to do with burnout for sure. But can you tell me what you mean by self-care?
Yeah, I think I'm still trying to figure out what self-care actually means and looks like. I know it's like a very big buzzword in general. And I think, yeah, I don't exactly know what that looks like, but what I would imagine it looking like is having enough trust within myself that I'm going to get myself to a healthy place, or that I will have kind of daily practices that allow for a healthy, like mentally and physically healthy life. Or within the context of relationships, feeling like they're like safe enough to go into, and not necessarily like losing myself within them as well. So, I think in a lot of ways, maybe like boundaries, and in some ways just like actually learning practices or figuring out the barriers that are keeping me from like, I don't know, being able to properly care for myself in a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm like having a hard time defining it because I don't feel like I genuinely have touch with it.
Yeah, I get that. Okay. No, I think the way you described it is great. And tell me if this resonates with you. What I'm getting is like being able to really put your physical and emotional health first. So that can be kind of the foundation from which everything else happens in your life. And it sounds like that's kind of been last. Does that resonate?
Yeah. I would say like in my family, or at least like from my mom's side, there's been this very like just kind of power through type of a mentality. And so like in school, I would be really tired, but I would stay up until God knows what time and keep pushing myself, you know, perfecting a paper so that it would be like, I would get the A+, like literally. And it didn't matter at what cost, or I'd be really tired, but I'd push myself to go for that extra mile. You know, like if I ran 5 miles, I'd push the extra half a mile to kind of, I don't know, like, I think I've just been kind of like treating myself almost like this machine.
Mm-hmm.
And the machine kind of broke. So I think I'm trying to like find the line between like pushing myself and being quote unquote successful, and also allowing myself to, I don't know, to have like the internal stuff that feels good too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And so it sounds like the pushing through has a lot of pressure associated to it. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Because pushing, you know, for example, running 5 miles and then giving yourself that little extra, you know, boost mentally saying you can make the 6 is often not the biggest deal, but when it's happening all the time and then there's a ton of pressure around it, that's what has us burn out and break down, you know? So, can you describe to me a little bit of what the burnout has felt like what has happened?
Yeah, it went from having like a pretty, you know, full and rigorous schedule to like feeling like I could barely make it to work, like physically or just emotionally being depleted and not like feeling like I even had the capacity to connect with people anymore, even though that's something that I was really like wanting and needing. Like interactions feel like they're kind of too much. I had a very long commute for work. And so now like even just driving around in a city, you know, kind of short distances has just felt overwhelming. And part of me just kind of wants to be in this like more shut in place. And not from a place of necessarily depression, but just like overstimulation. Like it feels like everything feels really overstimulating. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. And so today you would like to just understand and look at why you've kind of gotten to this place. Yeah. And how do you start to, it seems like trust that you don't have to keep pushing in order to have what you want. Is that?
Totally. Yeah. I think self-trust with that is a big thing. And like, I come from, you know, a mom who's a very kind of like high powered, like power through type of a person. And, I think I'm kind of questioning, like, I know that that doesn't feel like internally feel good. And on the outside, you know, I've gotten a lot of praise for my accomplishments. But I'm really wanting to do that. Like I feel like I'm at a point where I'm ready to let some of that go to the wayside, and maybe I'm not going to get a 4.0 GPA in like grad school. That's okay. So long as like I am okay. And it doesn't feel like that has ever taken precedence, I guess. If, you know, it feels like my external successes have always taken over. And so now when I'm trying to value something else, I think I'm just at the beginning of like, well, what does that even look like? And how do I build myself up to be that person who can like enjoy something, even if that means getting a B or not being, you know, in the future, like a super mom or something.
Yeah. Okay, great. So you've already kind of expressed, you know, how you compare yourself a bit to your mom. And so tell me a little bit more. So when you were younger in particular, what was your relationship like with your mom? And also tell me what your relationship was like with your dad.
Sure. My mom worked a lot. She was kind of the main, not kind of, she was the main and only person who brought in any kind of income. So there was a lot on her shoulders. And I would say, although we were, like, there was somewhat of a closeness, I don't think that there was ever that kind of like care, because she was really always working. And so I wouldn't say that her and I had ever been particularly close until recently. So yeah, I would say it was always quite distant. And then with my dad, he was also, I would say, like, he's gone through a lot in his life. So emotionally, he has been also very distant, kind of in and out, a pretty like angry person. And so I feel like I kind of did a lot of like making sure that they were okay, mm-hmm. and downplaying anything that I needed. Because it didn't seem like either one of them were really okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Got it. And so, yeah. Did you just make a connection? I could feel that you maybe made a connection while just saying what you just said.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Wow. You're so intuitive. Yeah. Like I didn't realize that I didn't think that they weren't okay. But I didn't think that, and I still don't think that. And so I think I've very much like taken on the like kind of codependent caretakery thing. And I think I learned that from a very, very young age.
Yeah, absolutely. And most of us have learned certain things like that from a very young age and like aren't conscious of it. And some of us are conscious of it, but don't really know what to do with it, you know?
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. So I get that. So good. You just made the connection. It's actually a very, an important one that you just made, which is they couldn't take care of themselves. So I felt like I had to take care of them. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what that little girl and everything that I'm saying, I want to make sure you feel like it resonates. Okay. Because I can say a lot of things and you can just yes me, and I don't want you to do that. But really tell me if it resonates or not, because we can actually dig in deeper if you challenge me, if it feels like something to challenge me on. What that little girl, in saying what you just said, what that little girl inside of you, I'm going to guess, felt is, if they're not okay, then I have to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I can agree with that. And I think I took it upon myself to be the person to kind of make, like, bring a little bit of light into a family that felt very, like externally okay, but internally not. And I think, you know, you had used the word pressure, and I think a lot of the pressure that I put on myself to like get that 4 point or whatever it was, or like make that, you know, be the star athlete, was in part to like bring a little bit of joy also. So I think you're accurate with that.
Yeah. Cause if you're okay, or if you're bringing home the 4.0, what would happen? What would you see in your family?
I feel like there'd be at least like this like celebration, or this kind of like break in the like shit, you know, and something like kind of positive. And it's interesting because within the dynamic between my parents, like it works for them somehow. And so they kind of, you know, deny that anything is necessarily wrong. I think it's just something that I've felt and then have questioned myself on. Yeah, but I think I just wanted to like bring some good like feelings into, you know, the people that I care for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, totally. And they don't have to be any different. But the reason I'm saying that is that what you felt and how you translated that and what it meant to you is what we're clearing here. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't matter like how they've figured out how to work it out. together, if that makes sense. I mean, it's not comfortable. It's good to understand it, which that may be something that we can, that would be like something we work on after this piece that I'm going to reveal in just a second. But because there are many parts of the parent work. And so, you know, I'm just giving you kind of the very first steps, right? For you to kind of dig in. So, okay. So I'll just reflect back to you what you just said, just so you can hear it. It's basically like, you know, I'm going to, that little girl is saying, I'm going to get good grades, do the best I can, bring home as many like successes as possible so that they know I'm okay and that then they can be okay, that I can then make them happy, you know? And that's how I'm going to keep this family together. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That feels accurate.
So then if you really take that in, of course you're burnt out, right? Of course, because everything that you're doing carries the weight of your entire family with it without knowing it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, making sure that they're okay, making sure you're okay, making sure they're happy, making sure, you know, you're doing the things to keep it all together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how it feels. It feels like I'm, And what I like that you kind of said, you know, whether that's like accurate in their mind or whatever, like that's definitely how I feel. Like I moved back to this, I was in grad school abroad and I moved back to the States because I wanted like to be the glue in my family and to help like bring people back together. And like, you know, that was a year ago. Like, so yeah, whether they feel like they need it or not, that is what I carry for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to actually give you a little bit of an advanced like technique in terms of what you're going to have a conversation around with your parents. And I say advanced just so you know, like if it feels heavy or hard, then it's because I've kind of skipped a couple of steps in the beginning of like starting you off with like a easier conversation with them. Okay. But I'm going to kind of see if this also works for you. So, okay. So I actually also see another piece here, which is, did you really admire your mom for kind of being the breadwinner and the one that, you know, like kind of really took on that role?
Kind of. I think I admire her for how much she can just keep like pushing through. Like, 'cause she wasn't just the breadwinner. She did everything around the house from like cooking to cleaning to fixing stuff. Like she does everything. And a part of me, I guess like linking back to self-care is like watching this woman keep everything, work a full 10, 12 hour day, come home, cook, clean the dishes, take the dog for a walk, like, and just do it again. And she just has done it for 45 years.
And there's like, I can feel from the way you talk about her, I know that you understand, kind of how powering through things isn't the necessarily the best way, but I can feel that you admire her for what she's capable of doing. Okay. And that's also playing a role here. That's why I wanted to kind of talk through that for a second, because when we admire something in our parents, and it can be not that you admire everything about her, but like a specific quality, you know, we essentially in our subconscious put that quality on a pedestal. And then mm-hmm. what happens is that we internally, consciously or unconsciously, measure ourselves against that. So mm-hmm. internally, you're constantly comparing yourself to your mom and saying, well, she's capable of this. Why aren't you?
Yeah.
And even if you are doing just as much as your mom, you won't ever give yourself credit for it because it feels like she's still doing more because it's on a pedestal, that quality.
Right, for sure.
Okay.
I can definitely resonate with that. And I think specifically with self-care, like part of my frustration, like part of where I feel like I keep getting caught is just like being disorganized in general. And like, I look at her and like the house that she keeps is immaculate and she's incredibly organized. And so, yeah, that very much resonates.
Yeah. Good. Good. And see, you'll actually point out the pieces that are not like her versus, are there things that you've done that she has not?
Yeah, I've done a lot of like learning about myself and doing things to kind of build myself, which she's never done.
Right. And you won't give yourself credit for that. Do you see that? Like you'll go to organization.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just wanted you to see that, but it's very normal because until we take her, this quality of her being able to power through and do it all off the pedestal, like in your subconscious, maybe in your mind, you think you've taken it off, but it's still there because there's an admiration towards it, you know? So until we kind of take her down off the pedestal and have her be humanized, as I call it, she's just human, right? Right now she feels like superhuman and she's just human. Until we have you see her and relate to her from that place, you will continually kind of measure yourself against her. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So I'm kind of showing you several different steps in the process, but here's the conversation that I would love you to have with your parents. And then, you know, we'll come back and see how that conversation was for you and what you got out of it. All right.
Okay.
So the conversation looks like this, and you can talk to, you know, them individually, or with this one conversation, you could actually talk to them together. It's up to you. All right.
Okay.
But I want you to kind of open up to them and tell them you're going to get vulnerable. All right. And you'll do they know about how you've kind of just, you know, had this breakdown?
Yes.
Okay. I figured that they did. Okay. So, so what you want to say is that, you know, I've been like reflecting on what is at the root of why I am experiencing this level of burnout, you know, internally. And you've realized something that when, you know, you were younger, you kind of saw that mom was out, you know, really taking care of everything. And it felt like, you know, like that she wasn't okay all the time. And dad, it felt like for you that, you know, there was some distance and that you didn't feel okay to me all the time. And this is just my translation. This doesn't mean that this was really what was happening, but this is how I translated things. And, you know, and I remember feeling like I've got to do anything and everything I can to make sure you're happy and you guys are okay. And I've been carrying that around for a very long time. And it's unknowingly been putting a ton of pressure on myself and in my life. And I just need to know that I'm not responsible for your happiness, that I couldn't be responsible for your happiness, you know, because that would just really help me really get that that's not my job.
Yeah. That feels so accurate, but so like, yeah, I'm like envisioning the pushback, but of like, well, we never said that, so that's your stuff. You know, and if that's the case, that's the case, I guess.
Well, you're saying like, I need your help, you know, in
yeah.
like knowing that, yes, it's my stuff and I need your help with it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what you're really asking for. And in, you know, we skipped a lot of the beginning stuff that I give people, as a way to kind of ease into some of this and really get the outcome that they want. But by all means, I've given you the right languaging for you to really have this be a profound conversation, potentially, you know, it depends on how it feels at the end of it. And, you know, we'll debrief around that for sure. But, but is it something that you feel you could like say and give it a try?
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely try it. Can I get a little bit of clarity on kind of like the last part of it? Cause that's the part that I feel a little apprehensive about.
Yeah. Which part?
Okay. So kind of like saying, like, am I kind of putting it to them and saying like, I need to know that you're okay?
Like, yeah. Like, it's more like, I need to know that I'm not responsible for your happiness. Like, I couldn't be. Like, how could, you know, how can I make you happy? Like, that's each person's individual job. Like, my happiness is my responsibility, right? I actually feel like I am responsible for your happiness, you know? And I just need to know that I'm not, like, reassured of that I'm not.
Yeah. Okay. And I could imagine my dad kind of going into a little bit of like a tizzy and saying like, so is it, I mean, to just own it and say, yeah, this could very well just be like my own stuff.
Yeah. It is our own stuff. I'm not saying that I wasn't solicited by a whole bunch of reasons. there were absolutely tons of reasons. And there's way more to the story that you don't know right now. That's all we need to acknowledge. Does that make sense? But you did feel what you felt, and that's not untrue.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because that's what you felt. We're just trying to get little pieces of the parts of the story we don't know. Does that make sense?
Right. And I think that is like, I've done so much like work on myself over God knows how many years. And like, that is so accurate to say, like, I feel responsible for your happiness. And like, that is, it feels like putting that, like I'm putting their happiness before my own. And that feels like clear as day right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason why it's powerful to have this conversation and instead of just being like, oh, I just need to take that in. Like, I'm not responsible for their happiness and just move on. Like, why do I have a conversation, you know?
Yes, that's my question.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's because if it was that easy, you probably would have done it by now.
Yeah.
You know, it is so ingrained, some of this. And truth be told, within our own minds, we can't actually fill in the gaps with the missing pieces because we only know what we saw and experienced. And that's the only perspective we can come at this from. And we will just keep kind of ruminating on what we already know over and over again, because we don't have any new information. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes, it does.
And so we need like the pieces that we don't know right now, because they can be extremely healing.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. And I think, man, I don't think I've ever worked with somebody who, yes, I agree. I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're making me feel really hopeful.
Good. You should feel hopeful. This is absolutely something that you can move through. It's not impossible. And it's just, we have to kind of dig pretty deep, right? And kind of face some pain that we've been, you know, sitting in for a very long time. which is not easy.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I've done so much deep work over the years, but in part, it's like only gotten me deeper because of things like that. Like exactly what you've said, like there are these missing pieces. And like, the more that I talk about like what has gone on or how they were or weren't were with me, like it's only made it, I feel like I've only gotten like worse almost. Cause it's like, shit, this is true. And like, I can't get out. And so that definitely resonates, is like just kind of like ruminating or going over that experience, but not, I guess, finding any doorway out of it.
That's right. That's exactly right. And we can even psych ourselves out saying like, I let it go. I'm okay now, you know, but only the, like our bodies can tell us if that's true. And right. Our actions can tell us if that's true, you know,
mm-hmm.
We're actually acting in alignment with that, then yeah, maybe you have really let it go. But if not, that means there's something more to do, you know, and it's usually a conversation. Yeah. And most people aren't talking about having a conversation because they are very, very hard to have. And sometimes, you know, you don't know what to say and what is actually going to help and heal and what isn't. And so, yeah. But I truly believe you're at the foundation of what I teach is that humans are resilient. I don't teach it from a place of we are weak, you know? And there's nothing wrong with coming from that place either. There's like lots of truths that can come from that place as well. But I believe that you can have this conversation and potentially it could be really healing. And there are others to have too, but this is just a starting place. All right.
Right. For sure. Okay. Yeah.
Good. So we will totally come back together and I'm excited to hear like how that goes, if it's powerful for you or if it feels like, you know, it went nowhere, we'll see, you know?
Yeah.
Just know that there is a way through it. So even if this first conversation that you have feels like you didn't get anywhere, there's absolutely a way through it. It's just that this is just one initial conversation that you're having, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that worked. Yeah.
All right. And so for those of you listening, I just want to kind of bring this back to you. Joan has vulnerably opened her heart to us. And what did you get from this? Because this is not just her story. We all have a place of maybe digging deeper and reflecting on the ways that we may not be, you know, taking care of ourselves fully. And where does that stem from? What did we see when we were younger? Or how did we translate things that may be keeping us from really taking care of ourselves and not pushing through with all that pressure on ourselves. So take a moment to reflect on that and see if something comes up for you. So Joan, I can't wait to hear how this all goes and I'll talk to you later.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.